everybody, welcome to Bite Me Podcast. You are going to just have your mind blown. We are doing two podcasts in a row. That has not happened since October, maybe?
I mean, really, we've done 344 in a row. We're doing it 2 weeks in a row.
Ah, valid. 2 weeks in a row. You're going to get new content from the Bite Me Podcast. Colby's here. You heard him talking. He's wearing a fantastic... Is it like a coat?
It's a shacket.
Which is a word Colby introduced to me recently. I'd never heard of it before, and it's I guess a thing. He might have made it up. I don't know. Dylan is going to be here eventually, probably. He got stuck at work. I do not know whether or not he is wearing a shacket, although it does seem kind of like something he might do. So
probably.
We will see. Today, we are going to talk about... Well, if Dylan gets here, we're going to find out what his game of the year is. We're going to talk about what we've been playing. We're going to talk about a little bit of news. We're going to talk about fast travel. We're going to talk about Pal World. We're going to talk about digital games. We're going to talk about Rock Band, which is like... That's a throwback call. And we're going to talk about RTX Remix. We've got a lot of... This is probably the most questions we've had in... I don't know... a hot while. So we got some questions. We're gonna talk about some cheap free games, and then we'll go home. But first, why don't we talk about what we're playing, Colt? Do you wanna start? All I've been playing is Baldur's Gate.
All I've pretty much been playing is Elden Ring.
You haven't beaten it yet.
I'm on the last boss.
Nice. Or is he the Elden Ring?
He's the Elden Beast.
Do you give him the Elden Ring or do you get it from him?
I don't know what the Elden Ring is. I'm going to be honest.
That's fine.
Yeah. Though I swear, and I mean, I guess like spoilers for a game I haven't played, and so I don't know if this is actually spoilers.
Interesting.
I thought you fought Melania or whatever her name is.
Trump?
Yes.
Okay, interesting.
No, because...
You heard it here first, folks.
Isn't that the whole thing with Let Me Solo Her?
I don't know. I mean, I just know that he beats people. I don't in his underwear. I don't know anything past that.
Melania?
So you have yet to beat Melania Trump. But you're thinking
Well, I thought she was the final boss.
That but would make sense, actually.
She's optional, apparently.
Interesting. Someone's gotta have made a mod for that, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess I'm on the last boss. I think this boss is kind of bullshit. and I am not the only one. Like, it is a boss that you're in a huge arena, and it'll fly from one end to the other. So when you run to get it at one end, it'll then fly to the other.
Oh, well, that sounds fun.
And it's a... Like, it's quite frankly a really poorly implemented boss. A lot of people hate it because it does appear to be really poorly implemented.
Well, that sounds super fun.
Yeah, and so I've gotten it down to like a fourth of its health.
Holy cow. I can't
get past that.
So you got a way to go is what you're saying.
Well, I got it down to one fourth of its health.
I misheard. So that's that's close.
On average, though, I get about one fourth of its health before it kills me, because it's a two part boss, and the first part's also kind of difficult.
That sounds super fun.
So currently, I am going to a different place that I've never been to try and get a talisman that will maybe make it so the Elden Beast does less damage to me.
Huh.
But
worth a shot.
The one thing I have found, and I think it's very interesting, is almost always when I search for like how do I beat this boss? How do I, you know, whatever, the newest thing on Reddit that I can find is from it like a year ago.
Interesting.
Like I never find one from like 6 weeks ago or something like that. And the problem is like some of them are like, this is how you cheese this boss. And it's like, well, that's been patched out. So no, it's not.
And also like, I mean, it's not like people on Reddit can search. Like, I mean, they can, but they don't.
Yeah.
They absolutely don't. That's interesting.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see kind of how that game has not held up, but how many people are still playing it.
Apparently, from what I can tell, a lot.
A lot.
Like the subreddit is very active, but like I just don't know why I always get things from about a year ago.
That's interesting. Huh. Huh. Well, I guess that is how it goes sometimes. So you think you'll wrap that up this week? You hope?
Hopefully.
Either you'll wrap it up or you'll stop.
Yeah. I mean, like, I might just watch a YouTube video on how it ends and call it good.
How awful would it be to play that entire game and get to the last boss and not be
94 hours in or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think you can do it, Cole. I got the faith.
I probably
will. All you need, Colby, is just a little goddamn faith.
But the boss sucks. It's also, again, like, there are so many little things in this game that, like, need to be changed for quality of life.
Yeah.
Like, last boss, you die, you start at the State of Grace, which is, like, down a huge set of stairs, so you have to run up those, and then touch a golden light, which takes, like, I don't know, 5 seconds to take you into the boss fight, but before that, you have to skip his cutscene, then fight a first boss, and then when he dies, you have to skip a cutscene again, and I'm like, I've already seen these cutscenes, I'm not gonna watch them again, just give me straight to the boss, but no. There was another boss that I fought this week that, originally I thought I wasn't going to be able to beat, but I respect, and it was super easy when I was respect, but, I timed it, and it was a 30-second run, to the boss every time you died, which is when in game there is literally a like canon, like this is a, you know, a place where you can respawn. Why isn't there one of those right next to every single boss fight?
That's terrible.
Yeah. If they put a 30-second unskippable cutscene in a game before a boss, people would be pissed. It should be exactly the same for I died and now have to run back 30 seconds because there's absolutely no reason for it.
That sounds awful.
Yeah. But other than, you know, some small quibbles, I'm still having fun.
That's what matters. I think everyone should know that the entire time Colby is playing that game and he says that he touches Grace, we both sing Reach Out and Touch Grace.
Yep.
It's like a constant thing.
It is.
So you also played Pal World?
A very, very small amount. Probably maybe an hour total. It's fine, I guess. I'm not a huge fan of survival games, so it is probably not something that I'm going to... Well, that's not true. I like survival games. I hate, like, survival games where I have to eat.
Yeah. Gross.
Like, what was the one we were playing? Midgar or whatever.
Yeah, Trials of Midgard.
That one was fine. You did not have to eat. This one, you have to eat. The building, I think, takes too long. Like, to build a bed, you have to hold down a button for 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
To build, like, I can't remember what else it was. I had to hold down, like, a button for 35 seconds while they built it. I'm like, first of all, can you just make this a tap where I tap the button and it builds it? Why do I have to hold down the button?
Mm-hmm.
That's an accessibility issue here, people.
Right.
But I don't know. It seemed fine. I don't know. I probably will not continue playing it. My kid wanted me to play it.
We should hop on. You can play it multiplayer. It might be kind of interesting. I don't know. We're going to talk a little bit about it later in the news section because that game has been generating some news in a bunch of ways. Some of them good and some of them bad. So we'll touch on that more.
Is it because it like stole assets from Pokemon?
Might be. Sure.
Cause,
might be.
Because when I first played, I'm like, oh, look, I'm a Mareep. Like, that's pretty much a Mareep there, guys.
Yeah, it might be a problem.
Like, I don't even know if it's, you know, we represent but are legally distinguishable from the Lollipop Guild, like, amount of changing.
yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll see. I played a bunch of Baldur's. I actually didn't play a bunch of Baldur's Gate this week. I only played a little bit of Baldur's Gate. I ended up having to... Colby and I usually play on Saturdays and Sundays, and I ended up having to work on Sunday, so... I played a little bit on Saturday, and it was probably my first, like, bad experience with Baldur's Gate. And it's, like, a bad experience not because there's anything wrong with the game, but just because I'm, like, spec'd wrong for a particular battle. And I don't have a lot of urge to, like, respec myself. I mean, like, there's probably something I could do, but, like, I'm so just, like, I don't want to. Like, I mean, Colby will tell you, I am the video game player who, like, finds a weapon that he likes and then just never gets another one. I beat, what, Mass Effect, the first one, with, like,
Beginner weapon?
Yeah. I'm like, this gun seems to work fine. Colby's like, you can upgrade him, you know? I'm like, uh-huh.
Is that why the end game was so hard, huh?
I tend to just, like, latch onto something that I like and just continue to latch onto it forever. I don't fear change, but, you know, I like what I like. So I'm not real keen on respecking. It's a big battle that it's kind of like a tower defense kind of thing. You have to last a number of rounds. And they just throw bad guys at you. And they're not, most of them aren't super hard. But I just don't have any characters that do like a huge amount of like, what I want to say, a huge amount of like area of effect. Yeah. Damage. Like maybe the solution is like, it's an area where I could kind of set up beforehand. Maybe I just need to, like, one of the things you can do in this game is you can put grease on the ground, and then light it on fire. Maybe I just need to like pre-put a bunch of grease or exploding barrels or something on the ground and, like set it up and then run it. I don't know. It's one of those things that where like, I don't actually like, I can lose this battle and the game will continue. It's not like it's not the Elden boss. I need to, you know, it will impact though the game. And so I want to beat it, but I don't need to. And it's really one of those things where I wish I could just skip it. I wish I could just say, like, you know, press a button and say, hey, I won. And I mean, I'll be completely, but it's kind of one of those things where it's not like I can just turn on God mode. I've never died in the battle. I just, the thing that I'm defending has just loses all its hit points. And it's not like a person. So it's not even like I can just like put God mode on that one person. So unless there's like a mod that essentially lets me just kill every enemy on the screen that I'm currently in combat with, I don't even know how I could cheat my way out of it. But if it comes to that, maybe I'll see if I can, even if I could just like spawn some explodable things or something, maybe that would be the solution. But like, I'm not against cheating to get to where I want to go. I mean, I'll be frank, every major decision in this game, I pretty much Google before I make it. So like, people are like, I save scum all my games. I'm like, why bother? Like, it's not like this game's happening in real time. Like, there's no reason I can't find out exactly what I'm going to do beforehand. So, and I think some people would probably say that that makes the game less fun. And for me, it's the only way I can deal with my brain and a video game at the same time. So it's just fine. I don't know. I'll play it some more this weekend, and we'll see where it gets me to. Big shout out to our patrons. Dylan's still not here yet, so we don't know what he played. Hopefully he enjoyed whatever it was. Big shout out to our patrons. These are the people that continue to support us for not 344 episodes, but like, I don't know, 200 and something. Like, there's been a lot of them. By donating at patreon.com/bitemepodcast. If you would like to join them, you are welcome to go there and do the same thing. We have a number of different levels where you can support. If you support at the $10 a month level, we read your name every podcast. So big shout outs to Alan Schulte, Joe Cole Jr., Anonymous, and Rich Deacon. You're going to be hearing from Joe and Alan later. They both have questions in our question. Actually, and so does Rich. The only person who did not ask a question today that is a patron of ours is Anonymous. And maybe they did. Who knows who they are? So it could have been anyone. Anyway, Joe's question is very long. I hope you read it beforehand, Cole. You might want to skip ahead and just like get underneath that. Yeah. Anyways, big shout out again to all our patrons. Thank you for supporting this podcast. You can join them at patreon.com/bitemepodcast. This is where I was going to put Dylan's game of the year, but he's not here yet. So I guess we won't. We're going to talk about fast travel a little bit, Cole. Do you have opinions on fast travel?
It's really funny because every game I play that has fast travel, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to fast travel. Like, I'm just going to like, you know, enjoy the experience and all that. And then about, I don't know, 20 hours in, I'm like, oh, I'm going to fast travel everywhere because I can now. Like Skyrim, I'm like, oh, I'm going to ride my horse and just like through these beautiful vistas. And then I'm like, oh, no, I can just fast travel. It's a lot easier.
if I had unlimited time, like in a world where there were no other games besides the game I was playing, and I don't know, I didn't have a job and I didn't have any other hobbies, I could see, I guess, maybe doing that. I don't know why.
I didn't use Fast Travel in Red Dead.
I didn't use, well, I mean, let's be frank too, though. Like, Fast Travel in Red Dead was not super convenient either. Like, it was. I don't think you got it until quite a ways into the game, didn't you? Like, you had to do a specific quest to get it?
Nope, you can do it in the first chapter, or in the second chapter.
Wow, interesting. I just remember, like, it took me a while to get it, and by the time I got it, it was kind of like, meh. So
you just have to upgrade the camp.
I think that's what it was.
You can do that in the first...
Maybe that's what it was. It wasn't something I did a lot of. How did you upgrade it, Cole? You weren't even at the camp. Like, he comes looking for it.
I would go back to the camp to give him food and stuff. I'm not a monster. What's the point of, like, doing all the hunting if you're not going to bring them back food?
That is
fair. That was my first playthrough. My first playthrough, they actually sent someone out looking for me because I hadn't been to the camp in so long.
Yeah, they just missed you. So Dragon's Dogma 2 is coming out sometime in the future. I never played the first one. I heard it's good. And they are putting a stake in the ground about fast travel, and their theory is that using fast travel less can be a good thing. They said that most people say that traveling is boring. And if that is true, it's only because the game you are playing is boring. And I don't know if I believe that. I think that a lot of games, like, either your game is very small and everything is kind of close together and relatively linear, or you have to have fast travel. Like, I don't want to spend all day, like,
yeah,
out wandering aimlessly to get somewhere. And I mean, I think there are games that do make fast travel something I want to do less. Like, the Fallout games for me have always been games where I don't fast travel a lot because there's so much just, like, storytelling in that game. Yeah. There are things you run across that make it fun. But I don't think I enjoyed Skyrim any less because I fast traveled all over the place. I would say the only game I've ever played that I thought fast travel actually had a relatively... big impact on how much I enjoyed it was Outer Wilds. Outer Wilds is the good one, right?
I don't know. I think it's Outer Worlds. I think you're right.
Yeah. So Outer Worlds, which is like a space RPG made by Oblivion, I want to say, at least on the Xbox, had incredibly slow load times. And so if you could plan your fast traveling right, you could actually skip loading screens because it was very much a, you know, go here, open this door, hit a load screen. Sometimes walk 20 feet inside that place to go outside, hit another load screen. Go over here into your spaceship, hit another load screen to get into your spaceship. And some of these were, I mean, this is on a Series X, were like 20-second load time. So if I could, instead of doing that, just fast travel back to my ship... I could save myself like 40 seconds of load times. But I don't think that was great for the gameplay because it was like trying to figure out how I can fast travel the very most without actually interacting with the worlds at all. But I don't know if I've played another game where fast travel was like a real detriment to the gameplay.
Yeah.
And their theory is, you know, if you're going to have fast travel, then you've got to have it. They want to make it a little harder. So like the theory is like you can fast travel, but maybe while you're fast traveling, you get ambushed by, you know, I don't know what kind of game Dragon's Dogma is. So let's just pretend you get ambushed by bandits or something.
It's pretty much, think like Dragon Age Inquisition kind of thing. Yeah.
And I just don't... That sounds way too much like old school, like Final Fantasy, where I was just wandering places and got random encounters. Like, I don't like random encounters.
Yeah.
I don't want more of it. So, like, I guess if your way to, you know, not get me to fast travel is to, like, punish me for fast traveling, that... That doesn't sound good. It just really sounds like a game I don't want to play. I've never understood games, and I mean, Elden Ring is one of these, really, that think it is so important to, like, bend players to its particular will that they take player agency away from you. And I think that any game is probably a combination of give and take between what developers want and what gamers want. But that feels like it's they're taking something away for no reason. I mean, it's exactly the same as Elden Ring not having, like, difficulty sliders. Like, there's no reason you couldn't. There's absolutely no reason you couldn't, and more people will be able to play your game. But you don't, because it's so important to you to maintain that facade that that's what matters. So, I don't know. It just doesn't... It seems like a weird thing to me. Do you have any other thoughts on fast traveling?
I mean, like, I will say that, I mean, with Red Dead, if your game has, like, reasons to not fast travel, people may not fast travel, but, like, I don't know, give it as an option.
Like, it seems to me, like, instead of punishing people for fast traveling, maybe you should, instead of sticking them, maybe you should carrot them. Like, you know, like, here's the reason not to fast travel. You'll get something if you don't. Like, I mean, I am highly susceptible to that kind of manipulation. Like, if you say, hey, every time you don't fast travel, you get a bonus perk or you get a something. Like, that would greatly cut down on my use of fast travel. You know, if you're more likely to do something, or if there's, you know, interesting things that happen when you're out and about, like, that's way more interesting than, like, well, I don't know, if you do this fast travel, you might get attacked randomly. That doesn't sound fun. So, I don't know. Pal World. So, Colby hinted about this a little bit. We'll start out with the good thing. So this game, had you even heard of it before this, Cole? Like, I don't pay attention too much to Pokemon games. Like, I don't really care about Pokemon. I don't really care about...
I don't pay attention to new games, so...
New games, yeah. So it kind of came out of nowhere for me. Like, I think the first time I read about it was probably when we talked about... Probably last week when I said, hey, it's coming out on Game Pass. And they're like, yeah, it's kind of like a Pokemon game. Apparently, it sold 6 million copies in the last 4 days, which is a lot of copies. It is the second most played game ever on Steam. So it had a concurrent of, I don't know, 1 point something million players, 1.8 million players, which makes it the second. Like, I'm not talking just last week. I'm saying of all time. It kicked off. I can't remember, but that's fine. Doesn't matter. The only game, man, you could guess for days, and you would. I mean, unless you're looking at the same thing that I am. What do you think the
unless you're looking at Reddit too?
I'm not. What do you think the most played game ever on Steam is? Like, so these are concurrent people playing all at the same time.
Is it Cyberpunk?
It is not. Cyberpunk is actually, you're right. Cyberpunk's the one that it knocked off. So Cyberpunk used to be 2 and now it's 3. It's a game we talked about it recently about how, like, it was such a huge thing for such a small amount of time, and then, like, it came back and you're like, "Oh, people still play that?"
I don't know.
PUBG. PUBG at one point in time had 3.2 million people playing all at the same time. So, I don't know. I mean, that game, like I said, that game was such
makes
a big
sense.
Deal.
That game was huge.
Yeah, 30 players versus 100 players? I don't remember. Whatever. It was so big for such a relatively short amount of time. I mean, it was probably longer than you think. It was probably for 6 months or a year. And apparently people are still playing it. But yeah, so like I said, big game, sold a ton of copies. Tons of people are playing it online. If you're playing it on Steam, apparently you can play it with up to 32 other people. You can form, like, guilds and stuff. And there's kind of two kind of, I don't want to say controversies, although probably one of them more so than the other, is that if you're playing it on Game Pass, which is either the PC version of Game Pass or the Xbox version of Game Pass, there are no dedicated servers for it. Hmm. So Steam can connect to dedicated servers, and that's why they can have 32-player games. The Xbox versions of it cannot, so you can only play 2 to 4 player on that, which people are kind of upset about. And also, when it first came out, people were under the impression that they were actually playing an old version of the game because it didn't support some of those things. And the developers were quick to point out that, no, it's just that the Xbox version and the Steam version are completely different. So even if you were playing 1.2 on both of them, they are not the same. They just have different code bases. Eventually, they are hoping to make that not true, where those code bases merge, and they will have crossplay then between at least PC Game Pass users and PC Steam users. But that is not there yet. The bigger controversy, and I will say allegedly, because they are also throwing around the word slander a lot, is that allegedly, if you take the models, some of the... So this is this game, like we said, it's like a Pokemon game, except there are guns, I believe? Yeah,
there is. I haven't gotten to guns yet. I've still got like a pointy stick.
Do you have the guns, or do the Pokemon have the guns?
You have
or
the guns. Or both.
Okay, so you can then shoot Pokemon, I guess. So you have guns. It's also got some survival elements to it, which include eating the Pokemon. You can also capture humans like you can a Pokemon and apparently eat them as well. So
I haven't eaten any Pokemons. I've only eaten berries.
I think, Cole, that if you're a good person, you will not eat any Pokemons.
I didn't know it was an option.
Well, maybe you're not a good person. Anyway, the controversy lies in that if you take some of the models from this game and overlay them on the top of similar models from Pokemon games, apparently they line up close enough that it's not a coincidence, allegedly. On top of that, a lot of the designs are allegedly very, very similar. It's not a great look. And the interesting thing to me about it is people are... Like, either you're getting two reactions. The first reaction is Pokemon fans writing into these people and giving them death threats, because, of course, that's what you do. The other thing is people saying, well, screw Nintendo. Like, they deserve to have their models stolen for some reason. which I thought was an interesting take on the other side of it, which led me down kind of an interesting rabbit hole. So I'm sure you know this, Cole, but like, Nintendo doesn't own Pokemon.
Nope.
Nintendo owns a third of Pokemon, along with Game Freak,
yeah.
And some other company, Niantic, I want to say, the folks that make Pokemon Go. But the interesting part about that like equation is that Nintendo also owns 54% of Game Freaks. So like, I think that makes them a majority holder on Pokemon, but I'm not sure how that works in corporate language. So I don't know. I was just very intrigued by this. If you look at the next game that this company is making, it allegedly also looks identical to Hollow Knight, allegedly. So I don't know. Not a lot of unique ideas out there, but if it says anything, it's that people really like Pokemon games, and I would say that the last couple rounds of Pokemon games have been kind of meh. So maybe like there's a place in this world for Pokelikes. Is that what we can call them? Pokelikes. Yeah, yeah. I don't like it, but it's fine. Where like the concept of Pokemon is absolutely fine to use. Like, you capture monsters and do it. I mean, it's not unique. Like, what was that? What was the one you played that was essentially a Pokemon game?
I mean, there's a bunch. There's Coromon.
But you played, like, wasn't Monster?
Monster Sanctuary.
Monster Sanctuary, yeah. Kind like of a Pokemon kind of
game. Side-scrolling Pokemon, yeah.
Yeah. Like, so I don't think there's anything wrong with stealing the concept of that kind of game. But there's maybe something wrong with allegedly stealing their models directly. You know, little things. Sinua's what do I call Senua's sacrifice? I don't remember the right way to pronounce that. All right, we'll pretend that is Senua's Sacrifice. The sequel is called Senua's Saga. Hellblade 2 is, like we said, the sequel to the game of the year from whatever year Senua's Sacrifice came out. I didn't think it was a game of the year game, but I thought it was really interesting and did some things with audio that I've never experienced before or since playing games. Microsoft and Ninja Theory have confirmed that it will be a digital only release. So it's a $50 game. So maybe not quite AAA, but real close. I mean, it's a first party Microsoft game essentially. So, interesting that is only going to be released digitally. Can you think of any other games like that, Cole? Games that are essentially AAA games that have had digital-only releases. First-party games from any other developer. Baldur's Gate 3 is, technically.
I thought you could get that.
I don't think so. Because I think if I could have, tried to get it physically for Christmas because people like to actually buy games. I could be wrong, but I think so. I know it's interesting. Tied into this, remember when Microsoft got hacked or got all those things got leaked because of the thing? Apparently, there's a new Xbox theoretically coming out this year, like a series or let's see.
Yeah, like the midway point.
Yeah, a 1-to-1x kind of thing. And it's really interesting looking. Do you remember the garbage can Macs that came out 6 years ago? They were MacBook Pro or not MacBooks. They were Mac Pros and they were completely round.
No.
Dylan has one at work, or at least he did when I was working with him. They literally look like a garbage can. They're just round. They have a little indent on the top. And some of the screens I've seen of the new Xbox actually look like that. It's like they took the square one and just rounded off the corners. It's actually really, it's a very attractive design. But it does not have a CD drive. It can't with that kind of design. So I wonder if this is kind of I wonder if we'll look back a year or two from now and go oh yeah, that was kind of the beginning of the end for physical game releases. I know that I'm a bad person for not caring, but man, I sure don't care. I really, really do not care. And, part of the reason I don't care, Cole, is right now, sitting right behind me, I've got a box of 12 games, maybe 15 games. In my garage, I've got another box of 12, 15 games. In my living room, I've got a drawer with another 12, 15 games. So somewhere between 20 and 50 Xbox 360, Xbox One games that I don't want. But I don't know what to do with them. Because you can't sell them. They don't have any value. No one's going to give anything about an Xbox game. Or if they do, it's hey, I'll give you $3 for that game. They're not worth shipping practically for the price you can get for them. I don't really want to give them away exactly. I could just drop them off at Goodwill, but that seems kind of even though I know in my head they don't have any value, it also feels like I'm giving away something that should have value, damn it, even though they don't. And so what I do instead is I keep them in boxes around my house and just go sure wish I knew what to do with these.
Yeah.
And with digital games, I don't ever have that problem.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a nice headspace for me to be in, where I just don't care. So, I don't know. In a world where I had, a man cave that I could, line the walls. I do not. First of all, I live in Florida, so caves are kind of few and far between. There's not a lot of basements around here. But I've also never quite got the I need a room to escape from everyone else kind of thing. I don't know, it's just not me. But I guess if I did, and just had like shelves all on the wall like where I could keep all those games, like maybe. Yeah. Also, it seems like a lot of weird stuff just to keep. It seems like a lot of plastic, a lot of, you know, whatever, just to like store for. I mean, like, what's your end game? Like, hoping that eventually they get to be worth enough money that you can sell them again? Like, I've got to wait 40 years for my Xbox One games to be worth me again, even though they won't, because they probably won't run by then because of like bit rot. So I don't, like I said, I don't know what my end game is, but it's dumb. Speaking of really old things, I don't know what year Rock Band 4 came out. Hold on, I'm gonna look right in here. Here's the review for it. Came out 9 years ago. The final DLC for Rock Band 4 will be released later this month. So end of January, you're gonna get the final DLC for Rock Band 4. And can you believe, Cole, that there are still people like sitting around with like full sets of instruments hanging out in their living room?
I wish I was one of those people.
God, I wish I was too.
About once a week, I'm like, man, I'd really like to play Guitar Hero. Like,
so two
things. I've got the guitars, I think. I just need to get them.
So out with the game sitting in my garage are four or six guitars and an Xbox 360, which I could run them on. And I'm like, probably twice a week, I'm like, man, maybe I should just bring these back inside. But then I'm like, you got weird guitars leaning all over the place. And like, yeah. it's just not great. Like, Brooke is not a fan of me having cheap plastic, like, wired guitars in our living room. So
I wish they had wireless ones.
Oh man, I wish they had wire. Well, so I have two of the wireless ones from Activision, and they extra suck.
Yeah.
So you can only plug one of them in at a time to an Xbox for some reason. They have like a USB dongle, like an old wireless keyboard. So it's not nice. Not optimal. The crazy thing is, if you've priced that stuff lately,
yeah,
like a full set of Rock Band instruments is like somewhere between $400 and $700. Like, you can buy a real guitar for less than that. Anyway, the good news is, if you're into this kind of thing, is that with the new Fortnite Festival, I think, which is essentially just like Guitar Hero inside of Fortnite, they're going to start rolling out new plastic guitars. So if you want to play some Guitar Hero, you may not have long to wait, and you may be able to get a better deal on guitars than you were able to now. Dylan just told me he's not going to be here, so you're going to have to wait until next week or the next time we podcast to find out what his game of the year is.
I'm going to say it's Pokemon Go for him. I think that's...
All right, yeah, we chose for you. No worries, Dylan. I guess fight us. New cool software if you are a PC gamer. It is called RTX Remix. It is from NVIDIA, and it is a AI-based solution to remastering games. So in theory, there is a new thing you can download, and it will, to some degree, in real time, remaster your games. There's a capture piece that goes in and grabs all of the assets, and then it remasters them kind of while you play. It's been in beta for quite a while, and it's supposed to be pretty damn good. So if that is something that you're into, if there are old games, they, you know, a lot of what they're talking about here is like games like Half-Life 2, games like Quake 2, like the original Deus Ex, Strife, Colby, Strife. It's finally time for Strife to come back.
It's my time to shine.
Strife's time to shine. This software does a really good job of making these games look better. And the handful of games that I've seen them do it with actually look pretty good. So if that's, you know, I don't want to be that person who can't get past, you know, like what games look like. This looks like something that really could be helpful to help folks make their games look a little bit better. So take a look at RTX Remix and see what they are doing with it. I think it's time for questions, Cole. You ready to answer
questions?
Let's do it. There are so many. And like I said, Joe's is very long. And, you know, sometimes I might think about editing a question this long, but we completely ignored Joe's question that he gets sent to us like 8 weeks ago. So I'm going to read it all. Joe Kolsas says he wakes up from an 8-week coma. Oh, hey, guys. Great show last week. Did you know the Sea of Thieves introduced a safer seas option, which would inevitably turn a PvP world into a private PvE world for only you and up to three of your friends? And yes, Joe, I did know that, and I'm very excited to try it out, and I'm glad you reminded me because I'd kind of forgotten, to be honest. So Joe begins to discuss the possibilities of bringing in old players who are sick of sinking, quote-unquote sinking, that's a pun, hours and hours into a session only to come across one group of assholes and ruin your experience. So that is the reason I'm most excited about it, because I've done that at least twice, three times, and it sucks. Joe goes on to discuss the potential for gamer parents to introduce their families to this world without fear of toxic comms or a sense of accomplishment in succeeding in a world event, or that voyages in which sends you all around the world in 4 hours. That's actually a really good point, one that I did not consider. That would actually make it a far more friendly game for folks who have the littles. Has your kid ever played Sea of Thieves, Cole? She into pirates?
Not is really.
Is it because you're scared that people will swear at her online?
She sat and listened to me play
Elden Ring. She knows all the words.
Uh-huh.
Joe continues to ramble on about how the Safer Seas mods brings more fight from the folks willing, able to risk everything for the sake of rewards, gold, and glory in the regular high seas adventure mode. By the way, since writing that question in the first week of December, we have a new season that just started on Tuesday, new season of Sea of Thieves, including some changes to the quest system and direct diving to start your adventure. Lastly, the level of reputation is increased from a 75 cap to level 500. Damn, that is a big increase. Like, they aren't screwing around. 100 prestige 5 times. So my question is, we're finally to the question, folks. What other games could you see this option implemented? What game would benefit from taking out the person opposition and letting you just live in the world? So essentially private servers with which you can play. So a game that was previously public, which they made private. I think Fallout 76
yeah,
is probably...
I was going to say that I know they did that, but yeah.
Yeah, they did it. And I kind of regret never trying that. For a while, Colby and Mike's dad actually had a subscription to that. He probably still does. He probably will die and we'll have to cancel that. And I always regret not trying it because I really did enjoy Fallout 76, but yeah. It definitely did... Having other people in there was not the best. I would say two others which came to mind for me is Grand Theft Auto Online, which in theory has that capability. In practice, it did not work ever, or at least not very well.
No.
And the other one that I think would be really fun would be Elder Scrolls Online. One of the things that I dislike most about that game is it takes away like your kind of like quote unquote hero's journey by not instancing quest givers or quest returners. So every time, you know, they say like, oh my God, you're the only person who can go out and you know, get this thing and return it to me so I can save the kingdom. I'm like, well, what about these other like 30 guys in here? They're just like milling about your shop. It seems really weird. And like, it's weird. They all came back too. That really took me out of that game. I think that having a game like that. And the weird thing is I never felt that way in like, WoW. Like I never felt like WoW was me and 30 other people like milling about a quest giver. Like sometimes you'd run into, you know, the problem where someone was like camping in the same place you were camping, trying to kill, you know, 6 giant frogs or something. But yeah. It never felt like the quests were weird because people were there. So ESO is definitely a game that I think I would be willing to, I think I'd have a lot more fun playing that just like with 4 other people, you know, drop in, yep. Drop out or whatever. So any other games you can think of?
I don't know, pretty much any online game.
Yeah, that's the reality, right? Yeah. I wish bots in Rocket League were a little bit smarter.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I don't need them to be harder when I play against them. I need to be smarter when I play with them. Like, the bots in Rocket League need to understand, like, what a pass is, or how to pass to me. Like, things like that would be... I would probably stop playing. If the bots in Rocket League were as smart as the, like... I mean, like, I'm not good, and the people I play with aren't good, but we're better than bots. I would probably play more Rocket League, to be honest. So, all right, next question. Rich, Rich Deacon, good friend of mine, wants to know, name one gaming accessory that everyone should own. So what's your go-to gaming accessory, Cole?
I don't have one. I don't even, like, the only game, because an accessory would be something you bought. Because, like,
yeah.
I actually very much liked the Kinect for what I used it for.
But turning on your Xbox and getting to Netflix?
No, I actually used it for the workout option.
Oh, yeah. No, that stuff was cool.
Yeah. I don't, like, if the Xbox Elites were a little bit better manufactured, I would say everyone should own one of those because they're great controllers, but
they do have a few quibbles.
Everyone's right and left button, shoulder buttons break.
Yeah. But man, they're great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, that's probably mine. But yeah, it is a hard sell. The other thing I guess I would say is. The headphones that I'm wearing, actually. I'm a big fan of the HyperX cloud platform of headphones. They are modular enough that you can, like, break the headset and still get another piece. Like, the strap part that, like, connects from ear to ear is actually metal as opposed to plastic. Some of you may not have heads as big as mine, but my head's monstrously huge. And it puts a lot of stress on plastic ones. And so I've blown through a lot of plastic headphones. And the HyperX Cloud headphones have been really good to me. I think this is only my second set. And I would absolutely buy another set if these ones broke. Although you just got some new headphones that you really like too, Cole. Do you use those for gaming at all?
I have not.
Do they have a microphone?
No.
Which is
why I haven't used them.
That's a bummer. Sure. I think if you're a PC gamer, probably one of the things you should buy is the official Xbox wireless adapter for your PC. So it's a little USB dongle that allows you to use your Xbox wirelessly using the same communication protocol that it does to talk to an Xbox. So it's not using Bluetooth because Bluetooth is garbage. It actually uses the Xbox radio signal thing. And it is absolutely the right way to connect your Xbox controller to your PC. And I'm a big controller gamer. So that's another thing. What's the... Ooh, Spade has some thoughts too. What's one office accessory that you should have, that everyone should have, Cole? Do you have any thoughts on office accessories?
Well, let's see. Let me look around at my office.
Office.
I've got a Legend of Zelda Game & Watch. That's
You think everyone should have
everyone
one?
Everyone should have one of those. a fan.
God, everyone should have a fan. And like not a like get a quiet
get a good one.
Get a good one. Like I don't buy the one that I bought because it was probably actually too much, but I bought one of the Dyson fans. It's pretty nice. Ceiling fans are also phenomenal. Big fan. The other thing I would say is a not necessarily an expensive, but a specifically Brother printer. Like buy a laser printer made by Brother.
That's what I have.
Yeah. They are workhorses. They are, like, I've had mine since the same year I moved to Washington. So, like, 10 years. The ink form's cheap. You can buy like third-party toner for them. They last forever. They're not crappy like Canon inkjets. Like, first of all, it never like somehow, I don't know how, but somehow my Canon printer hooked into my Amazon robot assistant. I don't want to say her name because otherwise she'll ding, but you know who I'm talking about. Siri. And now, yes. and now she reminds me that my she reminds me that my Canon printer is out of ink, and like, it's the most annoying thing in the world. Like, sometimes she's like, ding. I'm like, hey, what's in my notification? She's like, did you know that you need more black ink? I'm like, no, I don't. That printer is broken. So anyway,
you can also use some cyan.
Yeah. God. A Brother laser printer is the way to go. They're not expensive. The ink is not expensive, and they just print. They're wireless. They're great. I'm also a big fan of owning a scanner. And like, I own more scanners than your average person. I own 4, which is probably more than you need, but having even a cheap scanner, like I own 4, and 3 of them are very expensive. But having a cheap scanner is a really nice thing to have around the office. It's great if you need to like sign something and scan it. It's great if you just want to like scan a couple pictures. Like, it's always going to do a better job than your cell phone, is what I'm trying to say. And stay away from cheap photo scanners. They are garbage. Like, any of the ones that are like, dude, I could scan a 4x6 photo in 1.5 seconds. That's going to do a really crappy scanning job. So your photos deserve better. That's what I'm saying. So get a scanner too.
You know what scanners are really good for?
Mm.
If you have kids, buy a coloring book and scan it and
then print it out on your Brother printer.
Yep.
That's smart, Cole. Very smart. They're just great for, I mean, I use mine a lot because I'm really into like genealogy and scanning. I've got like 6,000 family photos that I'm in the process of scanning. So that's why I own so many of them and have different ones. I've got small ones and big ones and book scanners, that kind of thing. But I use them all the time. They're just convenient. It's way easier than, like, I don't know, going to the library. I don't even know where you scan something if you don't have a scanner. So just get a, I don't know, maybe Brother makes a printer that also has a scanner in it. I don't know. Princess Megan says, in your opinion, what is the greatest gaming system of all time? It can be a computer, arcade, or console, as long as you can make a reasonable argument for it, Cole. What do you think the best gaming system of all time is?
Well, my always go-to answer is whatever the newest one is.
Yep, I think that is fair.
I mean, like, that's what it is. Like, don't get me wrong, I love the Super Nintendo, but, like, rather play my Xbox. Like,
I would argue.
So, for me, right now, it's the Xbox
Series X.
Series X.
I think there is an argument to be made for computers, but I think computers are too expensive. And require too much of a constant reinvestment to be a great gaming system.
I bought a computer to play video games on, and I have played one video game on it.
I've
had it for over 2 years now.
I think that gaming laptops, like, you have to be a very particular type of person to play games on a laptop. I think that if you're going to game, like, either you need a gaming laptop and then having, like, a real setup for it. But I don't know. I'm not sold on computer gaming, even though as of right now, it is like the primary way I play games. I agree with you on the most recent, but to me, like, if I had to pick one, I would probably choose the Xbox One. To me, that was the first, like, it was a big improvement over the, Xbox 360. It was the system that Game Pass was kind of introduced on. It really was probably one of the first, like, consoles that really, to me, really changed the way that I played games too. I would maybe even make the Scorpio. Which one was the Scorpio? That was the 1X, right?
I have no idea.
I think the Scorpio maybe was the 1X, and the 1X maybe even a little bit more so. Like, it was a little bit faster, a little bit bigger, but it was also like bigger from what it could store, but also smaller in size. Like, I really liked that design of the Xbox systems. And maybe even a shout out to the One S, because it was all of those things plus tiny and cheap. Like I don't myself own one. My son owns one.
There's one right behind me.
Yeah. Like those were good systems. Like I love my Series X, but the One S or the One X like systems were pretty great, and they really felt like maybe not revolutionary, but like evolutionary to a point where they were like pretty perfect. Like when you really look at it, the difference between a One X and a Series X is like fidelity. Like they are faster, like you can make graphics look prettier, and the load times were shockingly better. But like those old systems were pretty great, and the fact that they've been, you know, they were placed, I don't even know how many years ago at this point, like 2, 3, 4. And that they're still like most of the games coming out still play on them is pretty telling that they were pretty, pretty great systems. But you know, you're right. Like the SNES was pretty great too. I liked it a lot. But I can't go back, man. I wish I could go back, but I can't. Alan S, last question. This one is for me because I'm the only person here that has a Steam Deck. He says, the Steam Deck is almost 2. Do you still use yours just as frequently as you did the first year? What have you found to be your favorite game to play handheld? And the answer to the first thing is yes, I still use mine just as frequently as I did the first year, which is almost never. It's really funny because like probably once a week, like I sit down and go like, I'm gonna like, especially like I'll sit down to watch TV and I'll grab my Steam Deck and I'm like, I'm gonna watch a little TV, play a little Steam Deck. And I never do. Like I just hold my Steam Deck for a little while.
like this is comforting.
Yeah. It's a nice Steam Deck. It's really funny how, like, I kind of go through phases in how I play games. And it's also funny how, like, very small inconveniences can make me play games differently. Right before I got my Steam Deck, probably the biggest reason I got it was because I was playing a ton of games on a controller with my phone. And I'm like, this is the same thing. It's just better. And then, like, immediately after I got it, I was like, and now I'm not doing that at all anymore. Like, I don't know if it was the games I played changed. I don't know if it was just things, you know, I don't know what it is, but you know, it seemed like the way I was going to do everything. And then it just kind of changed. Like, I think I moved, I have a PC next to a TV now. And so if I want to play games, I can literally just sit at my PC and play games and watch TV at the same time. So, but also I think that lately, most of the things I play on probably the most played thing on my Steam Deck is actually just Game Pass. And Game Pass wait times to log on have actually been, pretty bad lately. I don't remember the last time I just logged in and played. It's always like a 5 minute wait or an 8 minute wait or, sometimes even longer. And that's like just enough to make me go like, I don't know if I really want to wait that long to not know what I'm going to play and go, you know, troll through Game Pass. So I've played it a little bit lately, but not nearly as much as when I got it, I really thought I was going to play it a lot more. And I really didn't. So it's kind of a bummer because it's a great piece of hardware, but yeah, whatever.
You can send it to me.
I'll send it to Colby. Cheap free games. Should we do that song and dance? Epic Games this week is Infinifactory, which is a sandbox puzzle game by Zachtronix, the creators of Space Chem and Infiniminer. I don't know anything about that, but I do know who Zachtronix is, and I believe he makes good video games. There's also like a small part of me that wants to say he's kind of a dork, like in a bad way, but that's allegedly because I might be thinking of someone else. Game Pass coming soon. Go Mecha Ball is coming out January 25th. That's Thursday. It is a twin stick shooter with roguelike progression. I do like twin stick shooters. I'm not a huge fan of roguelike progression. We'll have to see on that one. Brotato is coming out January 30th. It is a top down roguelike arena shooter. I've heard good things about it. That's very, very similar to Vampire Survivors, if you like Vampire Survivors. Persona 3 Reloaded comes out February 2nd. So that is a new redone version of Persona 3, which, man, I've always wanted to play a Persona game, but I just cannot get into like 125 hours of JRPG. No. Anukchard comes out February 6th. The kingdom of Anukchard has fallen. Generations after the collapse, its surviving descendants have chosen you to become the bell wielder. Then a couple more games in February. Plate Up is coming to console and PC on February 15th. That is like Overcooked, that style of game. And then Open Roads is coming out February 22nd. PlayStation Plus for this month. These are games added to the PlayStation Plus catalog. Tiny Tina's Wonderland Next Level Edition, which I've heard is great. I think that's Hans's favorite game. Resident Evil 2, Hard Space Shipbreaker, which I've also heard is really good. I think you'd like Hard Space Shipbreaker, Cole.
I have played it twice. I've tried to play it and just couldn't get into it.
Well, it seems like a game you'd enjoy.
Yeah.
Lego City Undercover, Just Cause 3, I think that is... I preferred 4, but I've heard 3 is good. A lot of people that liked 3 did not like 4, so I guess your mileage may vary. Session Skate Sim, Shadow Tactics, Blade of the Shogun, Vampire the Masquerade Swan Song, and Surviving the Aftermath. And then coming to the PlayStation Plus Classics catalog, Rallycross, Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection, and Legend of Mana and Secret of Mana, which I think you're a big fan of the Mana games, aren't you, Cole?
I am.
Yeah. And then coming to Prime Gaming, the Yars Recharged. Is that what pirates sort of
what's
say?
A pirate's favorite game? Yars.
that's bad, Cole. That's real bad. A bunch of games we've talked about them last week on Humble Bundle 2, but they all end kind of like Thursday, Friday. So if you're listening to this podcast right now, you're gonna have to go out like right now to get the Awesome Games Done Quick bundle and the Play Pink with Twin Sales bundle. So I won't go through those again, but both of them look pretty good and were relatively cheap. All right, well, that is Bite Me Podcast for this week. Thank you for joining us. Cole, you have anything else you want to talk about before we go our separate ways?
Yars!
Thank you. We are Bite Me Podcast. You can find out more about us at bitemepodcast.com. You can follow us theoretically on social media, Facebook, Twitter. I refuse to call it X. And Instagram.com/BiteMePodcast. You can join our Patreon at Patreon.com/BiteMePodcast. I set up our Extra Life 2024 campaign as well. So if you would like to play video games with us come November, probably. I don't even know what day it is. Probably the first week of November. You can go to... Actually, you can't go to BiteMePodcast.com/Extra Life because I have not updated that yet. But I'll try and do that. Maybe I'll do that tonight. And then you can go there and join our team. We already have folks out there fundraising, so Princess Megan was asking some questions, so I know she is on the hunt for some money for the kids. And if you would like to talk to us, me and Colby on Discord, we mostly talk about... What do we talk about on Discord, Cole? What is today's Discord theme been? I think how much we didn't want to work, honestly.
That's pretty much my theme all the time.
It seems like it is recurring. We did spend a lot of time talking today about how I've not seen The Sound of Music and how upset people are about that. I knew that The Hills Were Alive with it. I knew that I needed to like spin around in a big field. I don't know why I need to know about it. And there's Nazis. What else do you need to know about The Sound of Music? That's everything, right?
Yep.
And like that Do Re Mi Fa Sol La Ti Do song?
Yep.
I got it. See, I'm practically Julie Andrews. Close. Anyway. That's what we talked about there. Go to bitemepodcast.com/discord to join us there. Colby.
Bite me. Yars!